Let's open our weekly Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen on topics in the news of our choosing. Today's topics are the sex assault allegation handling at the University of Oregon and Wi-Fi in places like national and state parks. You join Vents Day by calling 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with the U of O. Last Friday, the university dismissed three men from the basketball team after a female student said the three men raped her back in March. Treatment and timing are the major issues here. Treatment first. The Lane County District Attorney says there is not enough evidence to press criminal charges against the three men. Now timing. The first report of the alleged rape arrived at university police on March 9th. It took a month for police to complete their investigation. During that time, the three men now dismissed from the basketball team led the team into the postseason, into the NCAA tournament, and an eventual loss in the team's second game. Disciplinary action, the dismissal of the three men from the basketball team, came a full 2 months after the police report. Students recently protested the slow handling and called for the firing of the basketball coach. The coach stays, the three players go. Your questions, timing aside, given the sexual assault claims and the lack of criminal charges, what should have happened to the three basketball players? And then on the timing issue, when should the university have taken action? Was it the right pacing in your mind? Was it way too slow in your mind? Too fast in your mind? Let's hear what you think. Vents Day here on the Jefferson Exchange, dealing with the University of Oregon rape allegations. 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or jx@jeffnet.org. Now to a lighter subject, Wi-Fi and parks, and not city parks, but big parks like national parks. A parks advocacy group in California suggests state and national parks provide wireless internet, Wi-Fi, in the parks. Canada just announced that we'll install Wi-Fi hotspots in some remote areas of national parks. You can imagine some of the points, pro and con. Pro, why not have access? This is in so many other places. Con, sheesh, some wilderness experience watching YouTube on a phone in a national park. What's your take? Have the comforts of high-speed wireless internet in the park, or leave it at home and enjoy the great outdoors without the net? Let's hear what your thoughts are here on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Back with your comments on Vents Day in a minute five. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling and emailing in the minutes ahead. This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a pair of topics in the news. Our topics this week, the handling of the rape allegations against the three basketball team members now dismissed at the University of Oregon. Our other topic, quite a bit lighter, Wi-Fi in national and state parks. Is that an appropriate place for wireless internet service? Should the Park Service, should the Parks Department be providing that? Let's get your thoughts at 800-838-3760 anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Let me let our listeners in Grants Pass listening on KAGI 930 AM know that the new transmitter has arrived. We've been working on a temporary one ever since lightning took out the old one last summer. The new transmitter has arrived and needs to be installed, so at a time to be determined later this week, we will take the News and Information Service off the air just in Grants Pass on KAGI 930 AM. So if it is gone, you know why, later in the week. It's there right now for your listening enjoyment. And the phone numbers are here as well for you to participate in our Vents Day segment. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. First email comes in from Patricia in Eureka, who's responding not just to the comments here in our Vents Day segment, but also to the previous segment about Caltrans and the potential widening now on hold by court order of highways in the Smith River Canyon. Patricia writes, "Just say no to Caltrans and all new asphalt." And she adds, no Wi-Fi in parks. One goes there to escape from such things as civilization. So there's one thought registered against Wi-Fi in parks. Is that an appropriate place for Wi-Fi? I mean, do you want to be in a place like looking at the waterfalls way back in the woods and having people around you watching things on funnyordie.com or stuff like that? I mean, what's your pleasure there? For that matter, does it really matter if there's Wi-Fi available? If the people have data plans on their phones, there's a good chance they're going to be reaching this stuff anyway. So let's get your thoughts on Wi-Fi and parks, and or your thoughts on the dismissal of the three basketball players for rape allegations. No criminal charges will be filed at the University of Oregon. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Pam and Dexter. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hey, good day. As far as the rape allegations, I don't understand when there's an alleged rape, whatever happened that you're innocent until proven guilty? I mean, who knows? There could have been some vendetta. You just don't know. And I just don't understand how you can condemn three young men before there's been a trial and that you get to hear their side of the story, et cetera, et cetera. So I just don't think that's really right. And I noticed that former city councilor Kevin Hornbuckle is filing suit against the sheriff or whatever for violations of civil rights. So I don't know the full story, and I don't think anybody knows the full story. It hasn't been vetted out. So I believe in you're innocent until proven guilty, and those guys have not been proven guilty. So, and then as far as the Wi-Fi, I'm concerned about EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, and they're piling up. There's a lot of evidence and studies that have been done showing that they're harmful. I'm thankful I don't have cell reception at my house. And so, you know, we're out in nature. Do we really have to just have technology everywhere? Can't we just enjoy not having that technology? I know I do. So those are my two cents.
All right. Thanks for that, Pam. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you, Pam and Dexter, here on the Jefferson Exchange on our Vent Day segment. Vent your spleen politely on the rape allegations at the University of Oregon that got three men dismissed from the basketball team, even though criminal charges will not be filed. The other area on which to comment is whether you want Wi-Fi in state and national parks. Do you want to go to the heart of the sequoias and be able to reach your email and things like that? What appeals to you here, either pro or con? 800-838-3760. Or 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. There's a piece here that describes what's going on. A California Parks Advocacy Group is calling for the Parks Department to ensure wireless internet access in all state parks. The Parks Forward report was presented to John Jarvis, the head of the National Park Service, last week. So this would actually be 2 weeks ago. For his part, Jarvis said the National Park Service is moving ahead with making more Wi-Fi accessible in national parks. All this comes as Canada's National Parks Department announced Wi-Fi hotspots will be installed in more than a dozen remote parks areas. The reaction's been mixed. Some folks see the wilderness as a respite from laptops and smartphones. Others say more people will visit parks if they can stay connected. Well, would you visit a national park that you might not have visited otherwise if there were Wi-Fi available there? Let's get your thoughts on that. Again, the number is 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. It's Vents Day.
Good morning. I am absolutely outraged that the basketball players have been dismissed, and I don't care about basketball. Absolutely wrong to penalize a person before they have been found guilty of whatever crime they're being accused of. Accusations can fly around and, as Pam said, quite often can be for a personal vendetta. It's without absolute proof and with the bar of at least a jury trial being met, those young men have every right to be on the ball team and to move forward. In certain circumstances, a person should be removed if there's an allegation of mishandling of money when they handle money or something like that. You need to separate them because of the clear and present danger. But in this particular set of circumstances, no, this is beyond the pale and is absolutely wrong.
But, Paul, we're dealing with somewhat different standards. I mean, obviously there's a criminal standard that the district attorney said this case did not rise to. But the university's reason for dismissing them was stated as conduct unbecoming to members of a university sports team. They weren't very specific about what that conduct was, but you understand there's a lower standard here.
Well, let me put it to you this way. What administrative remedy were these people given?
Other than dismissal, you mean?
Other than dismissal.
That is a good question.
What form of due process did the university go through to prove the allegations, to support the allegations?
Well, they're being a little mum about that, but their own investigation began after the criminal investigation finished.
Yeah, well, show me, and then maybe. As far as Wi-Fi is concerned, my cell phone spent 2 years in a strawberry bed, and those were the best 2 years I ever had.
That's right. I've forgotten about the strawberry bed story. Paul, thanks for telling it to us again. Good to have you here.
Take care.
Are you too. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Vent your spleen on the rape allegations at the University of Oregon that got three members dismissed from the basketball team, the men's basketball team. Or vent on Wi-Fi being available in state and national parks. Is that something that would get you to go to a park? Is it likely to get you to run screaming from a park? Let's get your thoughts. Here's Jessica in Gold Hill. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Thank you. I have two quick comments on both subjects. Number one, as a victim myself of sexual assault many years ago, you know, the police can only do so much. It becomes a he said, she said. And my assailant was never removed from his job, so I wouldn't expect any different process, whether they're a basketball player, you know, because you have to go by what's in the proof. That's what I would say on that. And then as far as, you know, as an avid backpacker, I took my cell phone into the park for the first time last year, and I think that there's so many safety aspects, and if you choose not to use the Wi-Fi and just be in nature, that's fine. You can leave your cell phone off. But if you're injured, you have a way to reach for help. So those are my two thoughts.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Jessica. Which raises the question. I mean, yes, it is a good thing for some people to have phones handy if you fall down and, you know, break something, can't get out of the wilderness, whatever. I wonder if there's any discussion of having Wi-Fi free zones. Like if you're standing in front of this waterfall, please do not whip out your phone for anything other than to take pictures. But these are things that we can discuss as we continue on through Vents Day. Here is Jacob, also in Gold Hill. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi, good morning, Jeffrey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. So I wanted to propose like a million-dollar idea that's related to Wi-Fi, but it's not really concerning parks. But young people under 30 consider Wi-Fi to be a universal right, just as much as clean water or clean air, that they consider the right to information and to the Internet access to be universal. And I would say that in this nation, we have probably as many Wi-Fi connections as there are computers with Internet connections. They're ubiquitous. You know, anytime you get an iPad, you get a Wi-Fi hub, so you could use that iPad. And the majority of them are password protected, and I think there's interest within the electronics industry and with the cable industry that they want them all to be password protected. But I actually want to propose, this is the million-dollar idea, that everyone unlock their Wi-Fi, so that way you provide a Wi-Fi port for somebody, and they provide a Wi-Fi port for you whenever you're away from your home. And so we actually probably have the ability to cover most of the urban parts of this country with free Wi-Fi if people saw Wi-Fi as a universal good that should be contributed in a public way. And I think there's concerns about Trojan horses and viruses and everything else, and I think people who own Wi-Fi ports need to be reassured that those things won't happen to them if they're just a free port. You know, just like the beginning when there was ignorance about AIDS, people thought you could get AIDS just by shaking somebody's hand or hugging somebody, and you can't. And I think just like Wi-Fi ports, Starbucks keeps theirs open, McDonald's does, gas stations do, you know, the mall does, and, you know, they don't get crashes on their servers. And I think people should be afraid to not share and to be you know, consider part of one oversoul.
All right, so put a little
Wi-Fi.
Put a little Wi-Fi out there for everybody else and be able to use it just about anywhere else.
Yeah, call it National Wi-Fi Day.
All right, so it would be everywhere. Then the parks are not excluded from this. It would just, you know, basically Wi-Fi blanketing the country is what you'd like to see.
What I'm saying is turn off the password protection on your portal. So just let everyone use your Wi-Fi port. And they, in turn, let you use you know, their Wi-Fi port, you know, just like Jesus said.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that, Jacob. Appreciate it. Although I think you probably never had teenage boys around the house. So let's go to Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. On Vents Day, we're talking about Wi-Fi in national state parks and the rape allegations at the University of Oregon.
Okay, well, I'll make a couple of quick comments. The rape allegations at Oregon, I've been trying to kind of keep up on what's been going on in the news, and it's really hard to tell what actually happened from what I've read in the news, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to tell. And as far as the boys being let go from the basketball team,
mm-hmm.
I think that might have been the right call, though, because I think that they have some pretty strict rules about how they're to act, you know, as student-athletes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that their standard is different. It may just be that having gone to a party would have been enough to get them at least a
spot. Yeah, if you're going, I don't care who you are, if you're a boy or a girl, I remember when I was in college, if you were going to a party where you knew there was going to be drinking and, you know, all that stuff going on, you were sort of probably might be somebody smoking pot. There might be, you know, you never know. So that might not be the best thing if you're a student athlete to go there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the Wi-Fi in the state parks, if you want a wilderness experience, don't go to a state park. I mean,
probably not a state one, no.
Or a national park. I mean, I just don't think you're going to get your wilderness experience. If you want a wilderness experience, go to the wilderness, you know. Drive as far as you can, and when you can't drive any further, get out and start walking. And when you really are tired, you might be in the wilderness, maybe.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Dennis. Always good to talk to you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're allowing you to vent your spleen politely on the topics of the University of Oregon rape allegations that got three men dismissed from the basketball team and the handling of that, both in treatment and in time. Our other topic is whether there should be wireless internet available in places like national parks. Do you want to stand at the base of the falls in Yosemite and have people looking at funny cat videos around you? It's probably going to happen anyway if they have any kind of cell service. So think about the trade-offs here and what you're willing to put up with and what you'd like to have, for that matter, in state and national parks. The numbers here on the exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Joe has an email here. He says, allegations are just that, allegations, not a conviction. Crass politics at play here, and if this is the way we're going in this society, then you could accuse any high-profile athlete of anything and kill the chances of an opposing team from winning and destroying a young person's future. As for Wi-Fi in parks, I think it's a great idea, really. Having access to the net can enhance a visit, giving the hiker or tourist access to more information about what they are seeing or experiencing. If you want to watch YouTube at Yosemite, fine with me. I'm more concerned about you leaving your camp clean than someone watching I Love Lucy reruns in the camp next to me. That from Joe, no town given. Here is John in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi, good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi.
I guess as I've been listening to this, my vent has kind of dissipated a bit. As far as having Wi-Fi access, anybody with a smartphone has a hotspot with them. And so the point is mute. I think it's kind of a waste of money for our state parks department to be paying to bring something in that already exists. It doesn't really make any sense because, you know, if you're still running around with a flip phone, you probably don't have a laptop anyway. And I'm actually the leader of a Boy Scout troop. I've got 9 guys, 12 years old, and the rule is you don't bring electronics when we're in the woods. They're just a distraction, you know. And I understand the idea that information is out there and you can enhance your experience, but you might want to do your homework before you leave and find out where you're going, what you should be looking for, those things, rather than standing there in the forest, probably playing Angry Birds rather than actually looking the information up that you're, you know, supposed to be.
So a little advanced preparation, you're saying, goes a very long way.
Yeah, and it makes no sense for the state to put something in that's already there because they're going to be backpacking their Wi-Fi access off of cell phone towers, just like everybody else. So, you know, we're going to end up spending a lot of state money to provide a service that's already there.
I should point out it's not being proposed for Oregon Parks and has not been officially proposed, I think, by the Parks Department in California. It has been proposed to the parks, and the National Park Service in America and in Canada are both talking about that. Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it. Let's move on to Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, Wi-Fi in Parks and the University of Oregon rape allegations, our topics.
Well, I have absolutely no knowledge of the allegations or anything about them, but if the three young men feel that they've been wronged, they should sue the university for reinstatement and any compensation they might be able to get. And if the young woman believes that she was raped, she should, and the government refuses to deal with it, she should sue the three young men who she believes raped her. So much for that. But at any rate, on Wi-Fi in parks, personally, I can't imagine it being like being a good idea. Now, I can remember in 1972 a forest ranger, or I mean park ranger, telling me that the Yosemite Valley was already an urban campground, and I was there in 1972 once, and it on a weekend it definitely was. I mean, mm-hmm. They were tent stake to tent stake, mobile home to mobile home, all over the place in that valley. It was just dreadful. Up in the high country, it was very nice, pleasant, you know. But to put Wi-Fi up in the high country would just be ludicrous, in my opinion. But if you know, if you're out in the wilderness and you feel like you might be in danger, you should maybe invest in a satellite phone, and then that way, if you or anyone in your party became injured and you needed some way to get out, and you couldn't do it on your own, you could use the satellite phone to call in on it.
All right. Thanks.
There it is.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Mark. Always good to hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. A couple minutes left if you want to get into comment on the rape allegations at the University of Oregon or Wi-Fi in state and national parks. 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or jx@jeffnet.org. The Register Guard put a fairly long editorial out on Sunday about the rape allegations. University officials said they waited to begin their investigation until police completed their criminal investigation on April 8th. Their explanation for the delay, a request by police officials that the U of O put off its internal investigation to avoid jeopardizing the criminal investigation. There's no reason to doubt police made such a request, but there is ample reason to question the U of O's acquiescence in light of federal civil rights law that requires schools to immediately investigate sexual assault cases. Federal law explicitly states that schools should not wait for criminal investigations to be completed or for charges to be filed before starting their own investigations. U of O officials said they didn't see a copy of the criminal investigation until April 24th, 16 days after it was completed, and 10 days after police said they told U of O officials it was available at the police department. Register Guard points out there are more dangling loose ends that need to be tied up, but ultimately, it comes down to a case of them criticizing University of Oregon President Michael Gottfredson and the administration for not making sexual violence a top campus priority, which they had claimed they would. Your thoughts on the exchange are welcome. Let's go to Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
I think they should can this idea about Wi-Fi hotspots. Spend the money on mimes and jugglers. You want to attract people to the national park? You want to give them something to do in the evening? Something nice and quiet. Mimes and jugglers. There you go.
All right. Thanks, Grumpy John. There's a vote for mimes and jugglers instead of Wi-Fi in the national parks. There's a piece from the Toronto Star here about the similar plan in Canada to put Wi-Fi in the parks. It goes like this. Once a quintessential sound of Canada's north, the call of the loon appears passé compared to funny cat videos. At least Parks Canada seems to think so. It has plans to create wireless internet hotspots in up to 50 national parks and historic sites this year, and later tripling that number. The Toronto Star editorial goes on. In fairness to Parks Canada, their plan isn't to spread free Wi-Fi to every nook and cranny of the country's 44 national parks and 167 historic sites. Wireless service will be available mainly in visitor centers and at campgrounds. About 20 million people currently visit national parks facilities, again, this is Canada, each year, but the number has been dropping. So park officials are looking into new ways to attract urbanites and younger screen-obsessed Canadians. The goal is to put them better in touch with the outdoors. Ironically, doing so with free Wi-Fi gives these people an opportunity to turn away from nature and stare at their screens. It seems contrary to the point, but never mind. Instead of singing Land of the Silver Birch, we'll have a chance to listen to some as someone else does it on YouTube. Thanks, Parks Canada. Editorial in the Toronto Star. You know, this discussion of getting to back to nature and then seeing somebody with a screen out there reminds me, actually, on the way moving to Oregon, we passed through Yellowstone National Park, and we stopped along the side of the road because there was an elk standing in a field. And having lived in urban environments most of my life, I'd never seen an elk in the wild before. And we pulled up next to a Toyota van with a couple of parents in the front and a couple of kids in the back. Dad had a camera on his shoulder, and the kids were looking at the elk, not through the windshield, but from a screen, providing the video signal from Dad's camera. So the kids were actually watching the elk on TV and not in person. So it's been going on for a long time. Final email here from Ryan. He says, it wasn't long ago the parks were having money problems, so where is money coming from for Wi-Fi? Well, that question will be dealt with, I'm sure, as we move ahead. Thanks to all of you for taking part in Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange.